All right, good afternoon. As he said, I'm Seth Holt from NC State University in Raleigh, North Carolina. And today I'd like to talk to you about the effects of preconditioning cotton for defoliation in North Carolina. And before I go any further, don't misunderstand this for North Carolina alone. Now, these treatments and this test can apply for anywhere where you have very thick rank growing conditions and very dense canopies among your cotton stand. Okay, cotton with dense canopies often requires defoliating twice, and this can be rather expensive. So, and before I go any further than this, let me explain what I mean, with preconditioning. What we were trying to do with preconditioning is apply one rate of one certain defoliant at a cheap rate to allow for better standard defoliation. So if there's any confusion, I hope that clears it up. But as I said, cotton with dense canopies often requires defoliating twice, and this can be very expensive, especially if you're using a two or three way defoliant combination. In some cases, a significant portion of acres are mature enough to defoliate. However, the picker may not be able to harvest all the acres at one time. And as you'll hear me say throughout the entire presentation and concluding at the end, right now this is more of a convenience factor than anything else. And previous research has investigated the preconditioning cotton for defoliation, and we're trying to build off this research and determine some of our own results. Early mild preconditioning defoliation treatments could promote rapid defoliation, remove older leaves for more complete defoliation, and promote an earlier harvest, cleaner fiber, and reduce weathering potential. Now, when I talk about promoting rapid defoliation or an earlier harvest, what I mean with this is you maintain the two-week window between applying a standard defoliation treatment and harvest. You're not taking the chance of extending that window and allowing weather and climate attributes to take place and possibly even damage part of your cotton crop. Our objectives, as I stated earlier, were to investigate various hormonal and herbicidal defoliants for preconditioning cotton for defoliation and to determine the optimal rates of these chemistries for optimal preconditioning defoliation. And I will illustrate this in a few slides coming up. All right, we had two different locations, once in Virginia in 2007 and twice in North Carolina 2007-2008. We wanted to create very thick, aggressive canopies, very rank cotton conditions. So we chose two aggressive varieties to plant, Stoneville 6611 and Delta Pine 164. And we chose two on-farm locations in Duplin County with high moisture soils, fertilized with 6 tons per acre of poultry litter. As I said, we wanted to create very thick, dense canopies, very rank growing conditions. And we did our best to do so. The preconditioning treatments was one non-treated control, one that had a standard defoliation treatment with no preconditioning treatment, one preconditioning treatment with prep, one with DEF, and one with ET with the following rates. All right, the standard defoliation treatment was a three-way combination between DEF, prep, and drop. All preconditioning and defoliation treatments were applied with a CO2 backpack sprayer with a 110-degree angle and 0.02 gallons per minute flat fan nozzles, calibrated to deliver 15 gallons per acre, which is a fairly average application. We performed this test in a randomized complete block design containing 4 replications, and data were subjected to an analysis of variance using SAS. And means were separating using Fisher's protected LSD with a p-value less than or equal to 0.05. Okay, on to some results. As you can see here, the percent defoliation 7 days after standard defoliation, which would be 14 days after preconditioning. And notice this is in Virginia in 2007. As you can see here, as I said earlier, we had preconditioning treatments with ET. We didn't include the ET until North Carolina in 2008. But here in 2007, you can see our best percent defoliation came from both rates of DEF, even the higher rate of DEF to be exact. And they compared best to our no pre-treatment. as the other ones did not have as significant of a difference as deaf did in 2007. Okay, here in North Carolina in 2007, 14 days after preconditioning, 1 week after standard defoliation, you can see once again, both rates of deaf seem to do fairly well, and even the higher rates and most rates of prep seem to perform fairly well as far as defoliating as a pre-treatment. And all this is compared to our no pre-treatment, and you can see, as I said, everything seemed to perform fairly well. All right. As I said earlier, we added ET in 2008 in the North Carolina test, and this is 7 days, 1 week after standard defoliation, and 2 weeks after preconditioning. And as you can see here, for the most part, ET seemed to perform fairly well, and as you'll see in the other slides, it continues to perform fairly well with defoliation. All the other pre-treatments we used had the similar effect, but not quite as good and up to par with ET as on a consistent basis in North Carolina in 2008. All right, 3 weeks after preconditioning and 14 days after our standard defoliation, this is a summary of all locations. You can see that both rates of deaf and most rates of prep tend to perform very, very well compared to our no pre-treatment control, which only received the standard defoliation. So our percent defoliation seems to work fairly well with the high rates of prep and both rates of deaf. All right, here we include the ET in 2008, and you see the ET, once again, as I said before, is fairly consistent. It has very good percentage defoliation compared with our deaf and our prep. And as you can see, for the most part across the board, all treatments as a preconditioning treatment seem to perform well as compared to no pretreatment. Here we have the percent regrowth 21 days after standard defoliation, which would have been 28 days after preconditioning. As you can see here, as a consensus, everything seems to be as average comparing to our non-treated control with percent regrowth. So that was never a factor. We never had to worry about that very much, as the data shows here. Okay, an illustration for you. If you look at the top left picture in this left column, if you look at these two pictures, you can see that on the day of standard defoliation, the treatment we had. And you can notice here in this bottom picture, which is pre-treated, compared to the top left, which has no preconditioning treatment, you can see senescence taking place, and the leaves already starting to turn here. All right, if we wait 1 week and look at no preconditioning treatment, if you wait to 1 week after standard defoliation with no preconditioning treatment, you can still see a lot of leaves in this thick, dense canopy. And fairly, you don't see a lot of lint here. But if you look at the bottom right picture with a pre-treated treatment, 1 week after standard defoliation, you can see that more leaves have senesced, they've dropped, and this looks as if it's going to be more convenient, more timely for picking and harvesting, and perhaps promoting a cleaner harvest as well. Conclusions. Most preconditioning treatments improve defoliation compared to no preconditioning treatment. Higher rates of prep, deaf, and ET may improve defoliation, as the data suggested. And this is likely a better strategy for thick canopies, allowing for more efficient defoliation. And with that, with the more efficient defoliation, as far as we know right now, that's the biggest factor. This is a convenience factor. Preconditioning improves overall defoliation, perhaps promotes an earlier harvest. And as I stated earlier, what this really does is allow you to maintain that window between standard defoliation and harvest, not prolonging the period, not making it more of an inconvenience for the grower and producer. I should note and explain that preconditioning treatments had no effect on lint yield, lint percentage, fiber quality, percent open bowls on the day of standard defoliation, and nodes above cracked bowl in any year. With our future research, we're thinking about using Finish 6 Pro and Drop as preconditioning treatments to see how they compare to the ET, prep, and DEF. We're thinking of using different nozzles and gallons per acre experiments for preconditioning treatments to see how they work, their efficacy. And then down to the nitty gritty, What we didn't have in this research was, what are the economical benefits from preconditioning? In other words, does preconditioning save or make money for the producer? And as I said before, maybe so, because this is a convenience factor, ease of harvest, more timely harvest, but as far as saving money per acre, that's something we're going to look at and determine. And then, does preconditioning reduce boll rot and hardlock? And as I said in the introduction, what this may do is knock out some of these older leaves, allowing for more sunlight penetration and even more air filtration into the canopy, reducing boll rot, maybe even either maintaining yield or increasing yield by not losing it to boll rot or hardlock. The references I used for this research, as I had in my introduction, this is part of the research we built off of. And I'd like to thank a few people. I'd like to thank Dr. Guy Collins from the University of Georgia with his help and support, my major advisor, Dr. Keith Edmiston with North Carolina State University, my graduate colleagues, Bill Foote, Ranjit Riyar, and two of the technicians who helped me to put together this presentation and perform this experiment, Gary Little and Jamie Lanier. I would also like to thank Cotton Incorporated and the North Carolina Cotton Producers Association for their funding, their support, and helping us to perform all research experiments that we do perform. And last but not least, I'd like to thank NC State University for giving me a chance to prolong my education and study and receive a degree in crop science studying cotton. With that, I'd like to entertain any questions.
Any questions for Seth?
Yes, sir.
Would you suspect there'd be any variety interaction with some of those pre-treatments or preconditioning?
Variety interaction? In other words, the question was, would there be any variety interaction with some of these pre-treatments? In other words, why we chose aggressive varieties and if non-aggressive varieties. Okay. If you heard me say before, this, the only recommendation we would use this for is for thick, dense canopies. And whether it's not a fairly aggressive variety, but you have very high moisture, very high nitrogen content, and you have a thick, dense canopy, then is when you decide if this pre-treatment is for you or not. You can't plan that far ahead, you know, as far as varieties go. But once you get to that stage and you know that there's a good chance you may have to defoliate twice, and this could save you a little money and it could be fairly convenient for harvest, that's when we decide not. We were just trying to get very thick, dense canopy. Does that answer your question? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I have a question. We understand that percent defoliation and free growth. How did you measure those things? I mean, you didn't measure any
of those. Percent defoliation?
Yes.
It's a it's kind of an estimate when you look at excuse me, each plot individually, each block, and you compare it to your non-treated, which has no defoliation, if you follow me so far. Percent defoliation is in a roundabout way, to answer your question best, it's almost an eye calibration, if you will, to determine percent defoliation, if that makes any sense. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Most of the times that's how it's
visual.
Yes. Yes, sir. The same for regrowth.
Any other questions? Let's give Seth a round of applause.
Thank you.